Good morning. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for April 8th, 2021 will come to order. We have some late submitted documents this morning. Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the Commission may consider the late submission of agenda document number 21-20-A1.
Thank you. The Vice Chair is so moved. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Madam Secretary, the Vice Chair's motion has been adopted by 6-0. I thank you very much, Vice Chair. I'd like to announce prior to we start the remainder of the agenda that agenda item number 3, proposed amendment to Directive 17, will be held over to a future open meeting. So the first item that we will consider today on the agenda is advisory opinion request 2021-04, pray.com, submitted by Michael Lynn. We're joined today by Michael Lynn, the Chief Financial Officer of pray.com, along with Ernest Baynard, who are available to respond to questions commissioners may have. Mr. Lynn and Mr. Baynard, welcome. And we also have Kevin Paulson and Amy Rothstein from OGC here to discuss the matters. And OGC, would you like to present?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, commissioners. Before you are agenda documents 21-20-A and 21-20-A1, which respond to a request from the requester, pray.com, a for-profit corporation with a mobile app and website that provide users with faith-based content. The request asks whether Pray.com's proposal to post audio and video statements from members of Congress on its platforms would result in coordinated communications or otherwise constitute corporate in-kind contributions. The drafts conclude that the Act and Commission regulations would not prohibit the requester from posting the content on its platforms as proposed, because the activity would not result in coordinated communications or otherwise provide a prohibited in-kind contribution to participating members who are also candidates for federal office. We did not receive any comments on the request. We received one comment on draft A from the Campaign Legal Center. I'd be happy to address any questions that you have.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any discussion or any commission questions for Mr. Lynn or Mr. Baynard?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Cooksey.
Since we have representatives from the requester here, I guess, and also because the revised draft was submitted only yesterday, I would be interested if Mr. Lynn has any comments or anything he wanted to say with regard to the two drafts we're considering.
Thank you, Commissioner Cooksey. Mr. Lynn.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I don't have any additional comments. I can definitely answer any questions, provide more information of who we are if needed.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Vice Chair.
I wonder if Mr. Lynn has any preference between the two drafts.
Madam Chair, I think the most recent draft, which I've read thoroughly, seems to be the one that would be in line.
Thank you, Mr. Lynn. Any further questions for Mr. Lynn? I want to make sure, since the video is not able for one of our commissioners. Commissioner Walther, do you have any questions for the requester or the Office of General Counsel?
At this time, I don't.
Thank you.
I'm fine.
Thank you. If there are no further questions, let me ask, is there a motion?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair.
I move the adoption of revised draft A.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Is there a discussion on this motion? Seeing none, I will call the question. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you. I believe I've heard 6. It's a little difficult when I can't see the faces, so I apologize if I'm misstating. Please let me know. So the motion passes 6-0, not to have to call out the names, but just to do it for the fun of it today. We have the Vice Chair, Commissioner Traynor, Commissioner Cooksey, Commissioner Weintraub, myself, Commissioner Walther voting in favor of the motion. Thank you very much, and I thank you to the requester for appearing today.
Madam Chair, thank you, and thank you to the Commission.
The next item on the agenda that we have is the resubmission of proposed modification to program for requesting consideration of legal questions by the commission, or known as LRA 1129. We have Debbie Ciccona and Dana Brown from the Compliance Office and Jennifer Waldman, Danita Alberico, Joshua Bloom, and Lorenzo Holloway from OGC here to discuss the matter. And I would now offer OGC or whomever would like to proceed with the presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before the Commission as agenda document number 21-18-A is a memorandum submitted by the Office of General Counsel and the Office of Compliance proposing changes to the Commission's policy statement on a program for requesting consideration of legal questions by the Commission. The program allows committees to ask the Commission to decide one or more questions of law that may be raised when either the Reports Analysis Division or the Audit Division determines that the committees must take corrective action. If two or more commissioners agree to consider the committee's request, then the Office of General Counsel may take up to 5 business days to attempt, at its discretion, to resolve the substance of the request informally with the committee. If this attempt is not successful or is not made, then OGC submits a memorandum to the Commission that describes, analyzes, and makes a recommendation on the issue or issues presented in the request. If the Commission does not resolve the request within 60 business days of the filing of the request, then the Office of Compliance may proceed with the matter. The program provides for an annual review of its operation and an opportunity to propose modifications based on that annual review. This memorandum proposes 2 modifications to the program. First, the memorandum proposes that the 5 business day informal resolution period begin immediately after the commission receives the request, instead of, as is currently the case, after 2 or more commissioners agree to consider the request. Second, the memorandum proposes that the 60 business day period of time given to the commission to resolve the request before the Office of Compliance may proceed be suspended in cases in which an event beyond the commission's control occurs that disables the commission from deliberating on the request. Examples of such events might include a natural disaster, a government shutdown, or the loss of a quorum. Once the disabling event ends, the commission's 60 business day period would resume at the point when it was interrupted. In special circumstances, however, the commission could grant itself up to an additional 20 business days to consider the matter. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bloom. Are there any questions or discussion?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Pixie.
Thank you, Mr. Bloom, for the presentation. I have a question as it relates to the second recommendation and the 60-day clock change for the resolution of legal questions. Under the proposal, what would the effect be on an audit if one of the intervening events, like a lack of quorum, or the institution of a lack of quorum, were to take place during the pendency of those 60 days? And to reveal where I'm going with this, one of my concerns would be that it would potentially effectively freeze the audit process if we were to get one of these legal questions during a lack of quorum, and there were no way to move forward with the audit until a quorum were restored.
Yes, the language as currently proposed would in effect halt the audit process if a request is pending during the 60 business day period of time, because the audit division would need to await the guidance of the commission on the question or questions presented in order to proceed.
Do you have any concern about what incentives that might create for potential gamesmanship for audit subjects who are looking to pause their audits if we, for example, were facing a prolonged period of a lack of quorum near the commission?
I have not considered that. That aspect, I've not considered that question, but I would defer to my superiors if they have any thoughts about that.
Madam Chair,
please, Mr. Holloway.
Yes. Well, if there was an event that would actually stop the commission from proceeding, that could occur at any point in the audit. So, if we were at the the final audit report stage and there was a lack of a quorum, they still couldn't vote anyway. So that could happen at any point in the audit. So I don't, you know, to the extent there would be any gamesmanship, that would, you know, if there was a snow event that closed the commission for a week, that would happen, that could happen at any point in the audit.
Thank you, Mr. Holloway.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Traynor.
So Mr. Bloom, could you explain to me what the position of the commission was before we adopted our current procedure and how that previous procedure relates to this procedure that's being recommended?
Yes. Are you referring to the previous procedure before, for example, the informal resolution process?
Yes, before that.
There was no formal process for informal resolution in the procedure. We proposed in a previous modification memorandum to add the informal resolution process because we had an audit that we were working on in which we were able to, we discovered that there was a very simple resolution, even though that the committee had requested formally legal consideration from the commission. There was we essentially agreed with the committee's position on the merits, and we were able to instruct the audit division to remove or recommend, the audit division to remove the finding from the audit report. So even though there was no formalized informal resolution process, we were able to accomplish that with that previous audit, and that. That engendered some reflection because without the five business days specifically dedicated to the informal resolution process, it was incumbent upon us to use the 15 business days that's also provided for in the program for us to generate the recommendation memorandum. We had to use part of that time in order to explore and eventually effectuate an informal resolution with the committee. So rather than oblige the office to choose essentially within a rather limited 15 business day period of time to either pursue resolution or draft a recommendation memorandum, we suggested to the commission that it dedicate a specific period of time before the recommendation memorandum period began within which we could explore informal resolution. And that's basically the genesis of the informal resolution aspect of the program.
Okay. And then my concern with starting the 5 days immediately, as opposed to once two commissioners have considered it, are a majority of the legal issues fully vetted such that those that are being audited would kind of already have an idea of what their legal questions might be so that those discussions could start immediately versus after two commissioners had said that they had an interest in it?
Currently under the program, the auditors present the committee with an exit conference at which they detail all of the proposed findings that will be in the first draft of the audit report. So the committees are apprised of that, and then they have a period of time within which to consider whether they formulated legal objections that they want to present to the commission after that. So that's already part of the current process.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Traynor. Any further questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Vice Chair.
Thank you. So I guess a couple of questions about the timeline. Am I correct that we'd be adding 5 days to the timeline that exists here? This wouldn't come out of the 15 days that's required for the legal evaluation preparation.
No, Mr. Vice Chair. This proposed modification actually simply transposes the 5 business day time from its original location to an earlier point in the process. So if the modification were effected, then the 5 business day resolution period would begin immediately after the commission receives the request, whereas under the current program, the 5 business day informal resolution period begins after at least 2 commissioners agree to consider the request.
Understood, thank you. So you mentioned that there's a period of time between the exit conference and the, I guess, the drop dead date when one would have to decide to request a legal review by the commission. How often is there surprise, I suppose, that a question is being asked? Do you engage in discussions with, about these legal questions during that reflective period?
That can vary with the committee. Sometimes the committee informs us at the exit conference that it has a legal concern about one or more of the findings that are presented. And then we're certainly apprised of it well in advance of the filing of the request. But it's certainly not incumbent upon the committee to disclose to us in advance that it will be filing a request for legal consideration. We could receive a request for legal consideration and without knowing in advance what that the committee had an issue. But certainly once the request is filed, at least under this process, we would have a certain amount of business days to explore the issue.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess I'm asking a factual question. So in your judgment and experience, how often are you surprised by these requests for legal review to the commission? And I guess relatedly, you know, would this 5-day period essentially be redundant of that waiting period in most cases, or some cases, or all cases? Like, what do the buckets look like?
I don't really have a sense of the whole landscape of requests for legal consideration to be able to. To be able to say with any confidence how often we're surprised as opposed to how often we know in advance. I would defer to my superiors if they have more experience with the program, they would be able to comment on that.
Madam Chair?
Please go ahead, Mr. Holloway.
Thank you. I would say if I had to make a call, I would say we're not surprised that often. It usually comes up during the exit conference that the committee has some legal point they want to make. And so we're usually not surprised by it because the auditors are at the exit conference, but the Office of General Counsel is at the exit conference as well. And many times the committee will just say that they have a problem and they're going to file a request for legal consideration. And in fact, they're usually looking for it. You know, we're counting down the 15 days where we're going to actually receive it. So if I had to make the call on this, I don't think we're surprised by it.
So would you agree that in most cases, those 15 days are available for this sort of informal discussion between OGC and the committee?
The 15 days where we have to prepare the recommendation memorandum?
Correct. Well, no, sorry. I may have my timeline slightly wrong. After the exit conference, there's a period of time. You just told me that in most cases, you would know at the exit conference or I'll spot you a couple of days afterwards, that there's going to be some sort of concern.
Right.
I presume that you take advantage of the time before the committee files a formal request to discuss the merits of that request. And in please go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. That depends. I would say no, because I want to wait to see what the committee actually says, because I don't know what they're going to argue. And I wouldn't want to put OGC's resources into play. And I don't even know what the committee is going to argue, or I don't even know if they're going to argue at all. They may not even file a request. So I would definitely wait to see what they actually do.
So there haven't been cases where items have come off the list of violations as a result of discussions happening at the exit conference. It's our practice to wait until there's a formal request to the commission.
If it's a legal issue, definitely.
Thank you. That's very helpful. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
I'd like to check. I saw Ms. Brown, you had indicated that you wanted to speak. Did you like an opportunity?
Well, I think it's been covered, but I was trying to get in the conversation. But thank you, Madam Chair. I was simply going to say that during that 10-day response period that the committees have to respond, there is often some back and forth between, very often back and forth between the committees and the audit staff, where they field questions, we will provide responses, and then we also remind them of their opportunity to provide a legal request. So I would agree with Lorenzo that it's not often that we're taken aback and surprised that a request is received.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions from commissioners?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Welker.
Excuse me, because I haven't had a chance to look at documents the last couple of days, but what problem is sought to be solved by initiating this? Has it been a problem that needed a remedy to initiate this idea and then to have a 5-day result? What has happened to justify seeking this?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Please, Mr. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So with respect to the first proposal regarding transposing the five business day informal resolution period. Oh, I'm sorry. With respect to transposing the 5 business day period, we did encounter one situation in the preceding year regarding an audit where we perceived the possibility of a very expedient informal resolution with a committee of a question that it had presented, a legal question. However, we could not effectuate that resolution because two or more commissioners had not agreed to take up the request. Our feeling is that the informal resolution process has been very helpful and promoting efficiency and obviating the need for formal commission consideration of questions, that this transposition would enable us to address situations like the specific audit that occurred in the preceding year that motivated the recommendation. We would be able to potentially expand the efficient use of the commission's resources. With respect to the second issue, during the extended period of time when the commission lacked a quorum, in some exit conferences conducted with committees, we were questioned by committee representatives as to the propriety of filing a request for legal consideration during that time and what would happen to a request for legal consideration occurring in the midst of an event such as that. And we realize that there is a latent ambiguity in the language of the program as it's currently worded, that the if 60 business days elapses, then the commission, the Office of Compliance then has the discretion to proceed. But we considered that perhaps the commission would not wish to be divested of the opportunity to deliberate on a pending request for consideration of one or more legal issues by reason of an event or circumstances that occur beyond the commission's control. And perhaps it would be appropriate to add that clarification to the current language. So those are the considerations that motivated the proposals.
Thanks for that. I was just curious to know how it was decided that $2 would be selected and who would do the selecting and how would that occur?
Yes, I'm sorry, Commissioner Walther, who would do the selecting in terms of selecting for informal resolution? Is that?
Well, I think it was two lawyers were involved. How would they be involved? Who selects them? Does it come from the Office of General Counsel or what?
The decision currently, and this would remain the same under the modification, the decision whether to engage in informal resolution or to pursue informal resolution with a committee would be at the Office of General Counsel's discretion. So the Office of General Counsel would initiate such an attempt, and it may decide in its discretion not to try informal resolution.
Thanks a lot.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair.
What is to prevent a committee from simply withdrawing its request for legal consideration to the commission? I mean, assuming that there's a discussion, OGC agrees, or OGC and audit or whoever decide that the objection raised at the meeting is correct. It's the desire of OGC or audit to withdraw the objected to analysis. Why would there need to be this 5 day set aside? Couldn't the requester simply say, never mind, I don't need the commission to look at this, we've agreed downstairs?
I'm sorry, Mr. Vice Chair, the 5 business day informal resolution period could result in the withdrawal of, and it has actually in the past, it has resulted in the withdrawal of legal requests for legal consideration by the committees. I don't know if that's responsive to your question.
It is. I'm trying to understand the scenario in which the scenario that's been presented, as I understand it, and I'm very open to correction, is that there have been times where an objection was raised in meetings below the commission level. All parties have agreed that the objection is sound, but instead of simply moving forward on that basis, I think your words were that you've been unable to effectuate that because of a pending legal issue with standing in front of the commission. I'm trying to imagine the scenario where they would simply not withdraw the legal request and right back where we started. Back to Commissioner Walther's question about what actual concrete problem is this solving.
I don't know if you're you may be alluding to my answer to Commissioner Walther. In which I alluded to the reason for the.
Mr. Bloom, I apologize.
That's okay.
I want to try to do something to see if we can correct the feed that we're having. I'm going to ask if Ms. Carson Kennedy or Mr. Jones could give us a little guidance. Commissioner Walther?
Can you hear me?
I believe you're on 2 devices, so we'll need 1 to disconnect. Commissioner Walther? Could Madam Secretary confirm that Commissioner Walther is available?
We are checking on that right now.
Yeah, just muted one. I'm going to move it to the waiting room to see if that makes a difference.
Thank you. While we do that, I apologize for the inconvenience. We're going to take about 5-minute recess to make sure that that's, we have Commissioner Walther back, particularly since Mr. Bloom was in the midst of responding to his question. So if we could, Madam Secretary, we'll take a 5-minute recess.
Madam Chair, we have resumed recording and are live, and you may gavel in the meeting when you're ready.
Thank you. We are resuming the open meeting for Thursday, April 8th. I thought it was going to be in February for a second. Time has gone fast. At the moment of the recess, we were having a few technical difficulties, which have been resolved. So I want to thank staff for that. Mr. Bloom was in the midst of answering a question on behalf of Commissioner Walther. And I also want to note, we are happy that we can have the video for Commissioner Walther for the latter part of our open meeting. So Mr. Bloom, if you would please, if you can remember, if you can resume answering that question, we'd appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. So I believe the essence of the question posed by the Vice Chair before the recess was why not, if everyone is in agreement that the objection posed by the committee, the legal objection, is sound, why can't everyone agree and why can't the committee withdraw the request, or why would the committee be precluded from withdrawing the request? I had indicated in my response to Commissioner Walther that what the reason for proposing the transposition of the five business day informal resolution period was that in that case, I don't know if the Vice Chair is thinking about that case, and that's why I'm alluding to it. That was a case under the current regime where we were precluded from pursuing the informal resolution that everyone might potentially have been able to agree to because of the procedural requirement that the commission take up the matter with two or more affirmative commissioner votes. And because that procedural requirement was not fulfilled, we were not able to pursue that informal resolution with the committee, and that was the reason motivating the proposal that's here. I don't know if that's responsive to the question or not.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair.
I agree it's responsive. It does leave me a little bit confused where I guess I'll just state it again, just fundamentally. Given the ability of the requester to withdraw their legal objection, what prevents informal resolution under the current regime?
If the committee withdraws its request, then the program would no longer be would be in operation.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Holloway?
Yeah. I guess the thing about it, the commission has to actually vote on it. So if the commission hasn't voted on it, the current regime requires the commission to vote first, and then we go into informal resolution. So if the commission there has been no indication for at least two commissioners that they're even interested in the question, then why are we doing informal resolution? I mean, there would be no reason to do an informal resolution. We don't even have an interest from the commission. And so that's what the current process is. So the commission votes, and then we do informal resolution.
Madam Chair?
Vice Chair, please.
I think, and again, I think the reason would be because all parties, audit, OGC, and the committee agree on what the legal answer is, and there's no reason to involve the commission. Let me put it slightly differently. So now there's going to be 5 days where we up at the commission will not have taken a vote or reviewed the objection, but OGC will, in its discretion, I guess, talk with the committee. Now, I can imagine that going one of two ways. Either OGC agrees with the committee, in which case I'm confused why the committee won't simply withdraw its objection and everyone can go about their lives. Or OGC will disagree with the committee, in which case all we're really doing is creating 5 days for OGC to talk them out of their position before the commission reviews the issue. I don't understand which prong of that dilemma requires this change. Or what it will concretely do that would be helpful.
Madam Chair? Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Maybe we're defining it too narrowly, because it's not always a discussion, just a discussion between OGC and the committee. It's actually a discussion between OGC and the committee and the audit. And one of the first ones that we had an informal resolution on where we didn't even have the process before. We just tried to do it informally. It was just a discussion with the audit division. It was a clarification with the audit division on what this finding actually involved. Once we figured out what was going on, it was pretty easy to resolve. We're like, okay, OGC said, auditors, all you have to do is change it like this. And then the committee understood what the auditors were talking about, and everyone was happy. Everyone agreed. And so, but that was even before we had the process of informal resolution. So we asked the commission, let's just formalize this process of having an informal resolution process. But when we put it in, we required the commission to vote first, and then we did informal resolution. In the case that Josh was talking about, where we thought that if we just spoke to the committee, we could have easily resolved it. But the commission had not voted. The commission hadn't even voted to consider it. And that was the process at that time. So that's why we didn't do anything, that we didn't talk to the committee. If we had talked to them, I'm sure we could have resolved it. But the way that we had set it up, we couldn't talk to them, because that process happened after the commission voted. Believe me, I went to pick up the phone, just call the committee and easily resolve this, but that's not the way the process was set up.
Madam Chair.
What
thank you, I apologize. What prevented OGC from, you're having meetings with folks, you're in communications with them. What portion of the existing directive prevents you from continuing those conversations while the commission considers the legal appeal? And I'll leave it at this, because I know we're going late, but I remain really confused on why this can't be worked out.
Because the current process set up OGC actually going in and talking to the committee to inform and resolve it until after the committee voted. So I think we're actually on the same point. I want to do what you're talking about. It's just that the current process set it up such that I had to wait until the commission decided whether or not they wanted to consider it.
Madam
so
Chair.
You're right. I would love to do what you're talking about. I just thought that I could not do it because the commission hadn't voted the way we set up. It was the vote first and then the informal resolution. So what you're talking about is exactly what we want to do. We just thought that we all we have to do is shift it to an earlier process and we can take care of it earlier.
Madam Chair.
Question.
The last question, I promise. Can you point me to the language that prevents you from talking to the other side while the commission is considering whether two commissioners want to hear this question?
Josh, can you take care?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm just, yes, thank you. So, under the current process, within 5 business days of notification, I'm reading from the current Federal Register notice, within 5 business days of notification to the commissioners of a request for consideration of a legal question, if 2 or more commissioners agree that the commission should consider the request, OGC may at that time attempt to resolve the matter informally over the course of 5 business days. And then within 15 business days from the date upon which the Office of Compliance and General Counsel's Office conclude that the matter cannot be resolved informally, or from the expiration of the 5 business day period, OGC will prepare and circulate a recommendation. I think that's the pertinent language.
Thank you. That answers my question. I think we're just reading the language differently. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Are there any further questions? So let me ask, is there a motion?
I have a question.
Yes, Commissioner Walker.
Chef Tahoe.
I'll try and make this short too. I'm interested to know how the commissioners fit in on this. Because who selects them? Is there some methodology to pick the 2 people who's going to help resolve the matter? And when does that come in play? So we're going to choose 2 people to lead a conciliation process or what? It seemed to me that might be a step that formal it needs to be.
Oh, if I may ask, Commissioner Walther, when you refer to the selection of 2 people, are you referring to the part of the process where two or more commissioners agree to consider the request.
Right.
Or, yes.
I mean, you choose the two commissioners you want to talk to, you go to them with the problem, they come sit down. Is there any record of that, or how does the process work in that regard?
Well, actually, with respect to the part of the process where the commissioners decide whether to consider a request in the first instance, we in OGC don't speak with commissioners. It's simply presented to all of the commissioners when the request is received. And then if two or more commissioners decide that they wish to consider the request, they can do so. OGC plays no role apart from forwarding the request to the commissioners for their deliberation.
And then they meet and make a decision, and hopefully everybody abides by it.
The two or more commissioners simply indicate we usually forward it electronically, and then two or more commissioners indicate to us informally that they would like to consider the request, and then it's formally accepted for commission consideration.
I'd like to, excuse me, Commissioner Welker, not to interrupt your line of questioning. We have another commissioner, Commissioner Weintraub, and then I'll be happy to return.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just think there's a little bit of confusion about the process, which is, by the way, not one of these processes that is lost in the sands of time. This is something that we started about a decade ago after one particular audit where the audited committee was very frustrated that they didn't have a method of raising a legal question before the commission that could have resolved issues earlier in the audit. They had to sort of wait until the end of the process. And we all agreed that that was not very efficient. So we created this process, which is in some respects modeled on the process that we use for probable cause hearings in the enforcement context. If a committee wants to raise a question to the commission, that it will be presented to the entire commission. And if any two commissioners agree, that they think this is worth considering, then they don't decide the issue. Then the question is presented to the entire commission to decide. So it's any two commissioners can weigh in on the front end and say, we think this is worthy of commission consideration, but they're not the ones who are going to decide the issue. It is, as always, presented to the entire commission.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. So let me ask, are there further questions for the Office of General Counsel? And if not, I'll also ask, is there a motion? Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have no idea whether this motion is going to succeed or not. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it sounds like, having listened to the discussion, that everybody kind of wants to get to the same place, which would allow our staff to try and informally resolve these matters in advance of the commission having to devote its time to considering it, and perhaps in advance of the committee having to put in as much work on their request. You know, there seems to be some disagreement amongst some commissioners and the staff as to whether they can do that now. So if this doesn't work, maybe we could work on some other language that might clarify that, because it seems like it's generally a good idea to allow for that kind of informal resolution. And in hopes that maybe this would do it, I will move approval of agenda document number 21-18-A, a proposed modification to the program for requesting consideration of legal questions by the commission, LRA 1129.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. Is there a discussion on this motion?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair.
I don't plan to support the motion. And I want to be clear, and I think Commissioner Weintraub alluded to this, it's because I do read the existing policy differently, and I do not see what is preventing OGC from resolving these matters in favor of the committee
in those instances where there's agreement that as to what the legal standard should be. So I just want to put that on the record, and you guys can consider the language with or without my opinion of it, but that's where I'm coming down.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Commissioner Weintraub.
While I am going to support my own motion, if there is a way that we could resolve this by just sort of general commission direction to the staff that they can read the current policy to allow for that, I'm fine with that interpretation also.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. I want to just check that there is no further discussion before I call this question. Heads are shaking no, so I will take that as a no. I'm going to call the question. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say no.
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 The motion fails with 2 voting in favor, Commissioner Weintraub and myself, and 4 voting against the motion, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Cooksey, Commissioner Traynor, and Commissioner Walther. Thank you. Let me ask if there are any further motions. Seeing none, thank you very much. Thank you to the Office of General Counsel. We're going to move on to the next item on the agenda. The next item on the agenda, we have already announced that there is a holdover for the proposed amendment to Directive 17. So we'll move on to the draft statement of policy regarding closing the file at the initial stage in the enforcement process. Let me ask if there's an intent for a presentation on this one. Ms. Stevenson?
Madam Chair, since this was a commissioner proposal, OGC does not have a presentation prepared.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair.
I don't know if this would be in order, but I'm looking at the clock, and I think this matter deserves longer deliberation than we'll likely to be given on emptying stomachs. So if it would be in order, I would ask that this be held over until our next open meeting.
Thank you, Vice Chair, and agreeing with the empty stomach portion of that, we will hold this matter over to the next open meeting. Then let me turn to the question to our staff director. Mr. Staff Director, are there any management or administrative matters the commission needs to discuss today?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Thank you. This meeting stands adjourned.